This is Credit Exchange, your weekly podcast where we speak to the biggest newsmakers and news shapers in finance to discuss the most important topics in markets. I'm your host, Lisa Lee. This week, I'm with Andrew Davis, head of credit at CVC, a private markets asset manager with more than $200 billion in AUM. Thank you, Andrew.
Oh, welcome, Lisa. It's nice to see you.
I'm in your London office.
Yeah.
And I wanted to welcome you for being our in-person guest.
Oh, great. It's great to be here, and I'm looking forward to the conversation.
First thing, we've had a big geopolitical shock in Europe and also around the world with the U.S. and Iran conflict. How is geopolitical risk impacting the job that you're doing right now?
Well, it's been something we've been dealing with for quite some time, and the expectation was that, well, we were hoping that this would abate, but there's clearly been an acceleration in that conflict. How we're dealing with it now, we're monitoring it very closely. We're thinking about our people in the region, et cetera, but we're also seeing some volatility in capital markets, which will express itself in our deal origination and how we think about structuring and pricing with the deals that flow through.
What's really tough is that it's really hard to know how long this might take.
Yeah.
Right? It could be over, hopefully maybe by the weekend, or it could be quite long lasting. In that kind of a scenario, how do you think about your investments?
We're always thinking longer term. So we have to think how this impact's going to flow through into the longer credit fundamentals of the assets that we're looking to invest in, or our existing portfolios. So as much as we get an indication from government policy, or from the states in particular, that this could be short or long, our expectations is that it'll flow through the market for quite some time.
And then let's move on to something else that's been grabbing the headlines a lot lately, which is private credit.
Yes.
Especially in the U.S.,
yeah.
I would say a lot of the BDCs there, which is a construct that is only in the U.S., have been struggling, right? Some have been having redemptions, especially from the wealth channel. There have been a lot of questions about whether the marks are great, whether there's issues in the portfolio. You're based in Europe. And I know you handle global credit, but you're based in Europe. Can we discuss how the European private credit market is looking right now?
Yeah, I'd say I'm seeing more stability in capital flows within Europe because our source of capital for private credit is predominantly institutional. Mm-hmm. You're right that in the US, we've seen headlines related to the wealth channel or the public market allocators to private credit. Our European market is just very different. It's institutional, very small wealth channel. And it's an opportunity which I'd say is different to the United States. The opportunity in Europe is to assess a fragmented market. It's far less mature. There's less competitive tension, less bigger aggregators and capital flowing in. So I'd say it's been somewhat immune from that over the last year or so in terms of what you're sensing coming out of the news flow in the US.
But even in Europe, artificial intelligence and its impact in software is going to have an impact.
Absolutely.
Perhaps not as much as in the US, but nonetheless, it's a technology that will span the globe. So how are you thinking about software loans?
So if you're just looking at software itself, clearly that's an area that we've been considering as we've seen the development within AI and agentic AI and how it's going to impact those underlying issuers. You can see it already within the liquid credit markets, there's been some volatility in that space. Within the private markets, I'd say the big difference compared to the US is that there hasn't been as many issuers. So the flow into that space hasn't been as large. So as a proportion of our portfolios, we're well below the industry average in the European context. But it's not just AI impacting software businesses. We're very aware of the broader impacts that this technology will have on industry, on operating models, et cetera, and how that's going to flow through. So we're spending a lot of time as a business globally to assess that in our underwriting.
One of the big themes this year and the last year has been a move from a lot of global allocators towards Europe. Do you think that's going to continue? Because especially, as you mentioned, the geopolitical risk is rising and a lot of the US software firms are starting to struggle more. Or do you think this might be a pullback towards some of the credit markets?
I think that theme about overexposure to the US and the reallocation to other markets has been happening for a little longer than the last 6 months. It's been happening for quite some time. So global allocators are reassessing their exposure to the US as they've had quite an overexposure to that. Europe has had its issues in the last couple of years as well. Not to forget, we have the Ukraine. We've had a lot of geopolitical change in Europe. It's a very fragmented market. And also the evolution of private credit is still many years behind the United States. So as that has changed and the maturity of that has changed and the understanding of what's going on in Europe has become more transparent, we are absolutely seeing investors looking to diversify risk across other segments of the private credit markets, including Europe.
And where do you think that interest is mainly coming from? Asia, Middle East, within Europe?
I think it's coming from everywhere, to be completely frank. I do see it both in all the conversations I'm having with investors in Asia, in the Middle East, in Europe, and in the US. So everyone is thinking about their exposures to the US in the private credit spectrum and looking to see where else they can deploy that capital. Because private credit is an asset class now, which is quite entrenched in portfolio construction, and that will continue. So my assessment is as the markets are evolving and maturing, investors are looking for other avenues to access it.
And let's move away from private credit, because I think CVC just announced it's buying Marathon, which is, I'd love to hear a little bit more about CVC credit, the credit arm, and also what Marathon brings to the picture.
So our credit business was established in 2005, 2006 in Europe. It was very focused on sub-investment grade liquid credit markets, and we're predominantly a CLO manager. We evolved after the financial crisis into private credit, particularly focused in Europe, and we've been very successful at expanding that franchise. And it's all been driven behind understanding corporate risk across CVC as an institution, because it's a very significant private equity manager, very successful private equity manager, and using those resources to help us build that platform. As we look towards continuing to develop our product set, there are two avenues to go, either to organically develop the business, which we have been successful, but also to extend into the US. We have a great CLO franchise in the United States, but it's a very deep market. And we're looking for a partner that was culturally aligned, performance orientated, and Marathon was an asset that became something of interest for us. And we're very pleased with the acquisition, and we are absolutely looking forward to helping develop that business in the years ahead.
So would that mean you guys have to find a bigger office?
Probably, but I think that's a CVC.
And then when now that it's going to be a bigger mandate, and let's move into the liquid markets, there's more volatility in liquid credit. So right now we've got geopolitical risk, we've got AI. How are you looking at that market, and what's your favorite trade right now?
So the liquid credit markets where I've seen a consistent outperformance has been within our CLO business. So I'm very pleased to say that our over 20 years of execution, that platform continues to perform extremely well. And that's driven by its ability to be highly selective, to be very active in its asset management, to be relevant in the markets to source collateral. And you'll see that in our experience, CLOs and the way in which you manage loans in that market through that structure is actually a very appropriate way, because it's a long-term form of capital. And as long as you have a team that's responsive, reactive, and understands the fundamentals of each issuer and can reposition those portfolios very quickly, you'll see the performance metrics that we have within our portfolio.
One of the things that I hear from CLO managers, the biggest complaint right now is a lack of leveraged loan supply. And that has become because LBOs have been depressed. Now, I know you're not private equity, but you've got colleagues sitting very close by.
Yes.
So what have you heard? Should we still expect quite an LBO pipeline, or is some of all this geopolitical risk and some of the AI thing going to squash it, and it's another year of sort of depressed LBOs?
Well, we stepped into 2025 hoping that there'd be a resurgence in large M&A. We saw it starting to develop into the back end of last year. We had some of the most active markets we've seen, both from a CLO issuance perspective, so the expectation of it, as well as from refinancings and M&A. As we started this 2026, the themes were still very positive. Spreads were tight, financing markets were open. You would have expected that M&A would start to accelerate or grow again. As we sit right now, clearly there are a lot of things that are going to impact that flow. The geopolitics, disruption and volatility in markets, I think you're going to find that there will be a slowdown for a period of time. Yes, is collateral a very important element of mm-hmm. creating a diversified portfolio, particularly for the CLO manager? It very much is. But I would like to say that if the demand side is there, over time, the supply side will come. And we've seen that historically in terms of needing collateral and collateral coming.
Given that maybe we might not get the credit supply that people had hoped for or anticipated, do you think credit markets will widen given everything that's going on?
That absolutely will have to widen at some point in time. But then what will occur is you'll get more different opportunities. Mm-hmm. So it'll allow in a CLO format to buy discounted assets, to create portfolios that are going to generate return to the equity through a different medium rather than through the cash distribution. So we've seen this many times mm-hmm. over the course of the last 5 years. And every time our platform has responded extremely well and been able to find collateral, deploy it, and create portfolios that generate very strong.
It has been surprising to me. I thought the CLO market might slow down, but we've had record issuance year after year, given the lack of leverage loans.
And we've also had growth in the number of managers globally as well. So this has been market development, because particularly in the US, it's a very deep market to transact into. And there's a huge amount of collateral that's available. In Europe, I'd say that as we're seeing that market's also growing very significantly, we would like to continue to see that expand.
And so far, it's been a pretty positive picture, especially for CLOs and also even for private credit. How does you worry? Because there's a lot of things sort of nipping at the thing. Geopolitical risk, we've got AI risk we've discussed already. So far, the economy has grown throughout all this, and we've had lower inflation rate. But there's now even worries that some of the oil shock might stroke inflation again. So what is Andrew Davies worried about?
We worry, as a credit manager, I'd like to think you worry all the time.
Yes.
Because everything has to be downside protected. The performance of your portfolio is driven by ensuring that you're making very limited losses. So we spend a lot of time assessing each individual asset in its market. We spend a lot of time assessing the quality of the management team, the sponsor. We spend a lot of time structuring the transaction in a way that we ensure that we are protected as a loan manager. The things that worry me
at the moment versus like a year ago.
This is consistent. this worry is consistent. Okay. But right now, it's an increase in the geopolitical landscape, or the worry that could expand. We've already seen the very short-term price action in energy markets. Europe is very exposed to that. Does that flow into inflation? Does it flow into rates? Does that flow into a number of things? And we just need to adjust accordingly. But even when we do our underwrites leading up to this point in time, we are always considering that. What could happen if that occurred? Not only from a margin perspective on a business, but what happens to the cost of capital? What happens to valuations? How's the sponsor and the management going to respond? So we spend a lot of time considering that well in advance of these types of events occurring.
So when you look at the U.S., one of the rises, some of the, not only defaults, but recoveries have been pretty low. What are the recovery levels in Europe? Because we have but liability management issues in the U.S. that I don't think has come to Europe as much. Do you think that will change? Do you think liability management might shift to Europe as well?
There have been some transactions that have gone through those processes. Again, as an underwriter, you just need to be fully aware of what the documentation can allow a sponsor or other creditors to do. Will recovery rates through this cycle be low? I think, again, it comes down to that specific issue and the problems that it's had. For the defaults that I think our industry has seen, we still are working through the recoveries of those, and it'll take some time. Clearly, if there's some of the areas that we've seen headlined in the press, which is more fraud or very poor management.
Yes.
Those are difficult to assess. But for just a regular way restructuring event where business needs to be repositioned, taken time to recover, and then exit will come over time, I think we're still going to see that data flow through.
Let's talk about fraud, what Jamie Dimon sort of famously called cockroaches. And we've had two big ones in the US, and I think now a fraud, possible alleged fraud situation in Europe. How do you, as a credit manager, try to underwrite to make sure that you aren't subject to fraud? Or is that something that's impossible to really do?
Every credit needs its individual assessment. Mm-hmm. we are very sponsor orientated. So we align ourselves to the largest, most successful sponsors in each market in which they operate. We get the professional oversight of, you know, their execution, their insights to management, and then we use all of our internal knowledge as well to ensure that we understand that as well. I've seen in my experience predominantly these types of events occurring where a sponsor is not present.
Yeah.
So for us, aligning ourselves to a sponsor is very important. Ensuring that we de-risk around that is the best route for us in terms of execution. So will there be these types of events? Absolutely. And how to avoid them is to ensure that you're aligned to the right owner and the right management.
So make sure you know the owners.
Absolutely.
Pretty much. Because I would imagine you know all the sponsors.
Absolutely. Yeah. But our portfolios, again, are very sponsor-oriented.
Mm-hmm. So, Andrew, private credit's not just senior secured direct lending loans to sponsors. There's now a growing segment that's providing mezzanine and also junior capital. Are you worried about that segment as the economy seems a little bit more shaky?
I see a lot of opportunity there, actually. So part of our platform is to provide not only the senior lending in the private side, but also capital solutions. And that's a segment of the market that's changing quickly. So what is capital solutions for us? It's providing predominantly junior solutions to large cap sponsor-backed businesses globally with, you know, focus in Europe. And we've seen opportunity there change. So in some instances, coming out of, you know, the volatility of COVID, there was a lot of refinancing need. We were very active there with new M&A, high quality businesses, growth businesses that needed a capital structure that was efficient for the sponsor. Then we had a period of volatility in association to rates, you know, energy spikes, et cetera, supply chain. What we were able to do there is to help support businesses that needed a capital solution to extend their capital structures, de-risk or de-lever. Then we've been in a phase now of actually a very interesting opportunity where sponsors are looking to find exits or DPI, very good businesses, extend the life of those businesses, still maintain control, and we can provide a solution to do that as well. And so we're seeing a huge increase in inquiry from sponsors to do that, and we're getting great flow from that. And also capital solutions for us includes taking advantage of dislocation, and we're seeing that potentially happen now. So this product that we have is all weather, can produce great outcomes in high quality businesses that are requiring just a solution at a particular point in time.
So help me understand that in a more concrete term. Can you give me an example, even if you don't name the company, of what this can look like? In a regular scenario where sponsors need liquidity, and then perhaps also now that dislocation is starting to manifest both ways.
So as an example, for a sponsor looking for liquidity, they have a very high quality asset in their portfolio. Many of them would like to return capital to their investors. Mm-hmm. They've held it for 3, 4, 5 year period, and they might want to extend it into a CV. So they put a CV structure in place. They're all into that structure. They get new equity, and they'd like to have a dividend or some sort of release of capital to their equity, but they don't want to lose control. So they want to control the asset. They want to continue to hold the asset. Then we can provide them with that solution, but we're doing it in a hybrid form. So it's not just a debt.
It's like a hybrid
type of structure where there is a minimum money multiple, a little bit of capped upside, but we produce for them something which is really additive to their investors. It allows them to continue to own an asset that they really like, and we can now provide them with that type of financing solution.
And the dislocation,
So there's two areas that we see dislocation. Mm-hmm. One is, and we've experienced it, either it's a syndication that cannot clear. So when the market changes and a bank's sitting on something that needs to move, that could allow us an opportunity to step in and provide a solution to the bank. Or just through our very large portfolio of liquid credit that we have, we can identify great assets that are trading at a price which is technically driven, not driven by the fundamentals, and we can transact into that in the secondary market.
And that is a good point too. Right now, the banks have been underwriting, but I've already heard about some hung deals, and maybe they might retrench given some of the volatility. Mm. In that kind of situation, where do you come in?
So that's where private markets and private credit can be very, very helpful. So it's not only to, you know, find the solution for the underwriting bank and price that risk and take it and clear it. It's also to provide financing capacity for sponsors that now the banks just want to do and they're able to support. So, and we've seen this many times. So we've seen it every time there's a period of volatility. COVID, private credit became a very active participant in the market. Again, same cycle, the rate cycle, the supply chain, energy, private credit became very active in that market. And what we found in those periods of time is we've got very good terms, really robust structures and pricing, which is attractive versus what the syndicated loan market would typically price it at.
That's true. Right after Ukraine, it was almost, that was like what people call the golden era of private credit because the banks stepped back so much from financing.
And it allowed sponsors to see that private credit is a consistent form of financing for them. So they can utilize it. And again, very helpful for them when they're looking to transact despite what the broader market suggests.
So you could purchase both some of the hung debt from banks and also provide new financing, both sides?
Absolutely.
And it's interesting to know that despite all the headlines, private credit is still deploying. You guys are not paid back.
We would absolutely take recognition of what's happening in the broader markets, and we should, because private credit should price relative to what the broader markets are. So for us right now, are we seeing an opportunity for us to reconsider pricing of transactions that are within our pipeline? Absolutely. Are we able to reconsider how to structure those deals a bit more conservatively because the uncertainties are there? Absolutely. And that's exactly what our investment teams are doing, really thinking hard about the current environment in terms of pricing, structure, and protections.
So Andrew, has AI changed your life in any way? Are you using it already?
We do, very much so. So we have, in every credit that we assess, we ensure that we spend time understanding the AI risks within that business, and then we spend time with the management of those businesses to understand if they understand the risks in those businesses. As a business, CVC has been at the front of ensuring that not only are we doing it in our investment, but also as a platform.
So
a lot of investment has been put into CVC in terms of utilizing AI in our processes, our investment processes, and that's advancing consistently and constantly. And I do expect that if I just look at the operating model within our business operations and our investment professional side, I do see efficiencies coming through.
So there's definitely efficiencies. So productivity will improve, you think?
Yes, absolutely.
And how about, especially for the young people that you mentor, what would you tell them about AI? Because there's some fears that their jobs are going to be going away.
As it currently stands, I'd say they should be very open to utilize these because they can be more productive and they can be in the forefront of explaining how these products are going to be not only helpful in their day-to-day, but also how they're assessing the quality of the assets that we're looking at. I know that there is a universe that says that there's certain cohorts of the investment management universe that will no longer be, used. But I, as it currently stands, I think human connectivity, particularly in the market that we're in, being able to explain the outputs of a credit paper and the inputs is going to be a very important part of our assessment as a business to the portfolios we construct. But I would say embrace it. You have to. We all have to, because it's moving very, very quickly.
I think there's going to be a lot of people who are listening who's going to be very happy to hear that. And on that note, I'm going to wrap up. But thank you so much. This has been a really great conversation.
It's been great. I've enjoyed having this.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And to our audience, thank you for joining us for another edition of Credit Exchange. And do follow us on Spotify and Apple, wherever you get your podcasts. This has been Lisa Lee.